20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much again for taking time to join us today. My name's Dan Kotnick, and my partner today is Matt Fralick. We're down our third member for this week again, but Matt, this is what training camp's for, right? To figure out different matchups and, you know, when guys go down to pick up the slack and, you know, fill the holes. And so that's what we're dealing with today.
Yeah, you definitely, you got a new offense, new defense type of thing. You got to really figure out, you know, you want three receivers out there, maybe two, go with an extra fullback. You know, I'm a strong component of the fullback, and I've been running with that narrative for a few years now. And like, it's great for the Packers to have like fullbacks that cycle in and out, so I can just have a new one to beat the drum with. And like, Danny Vitale is just an absolute unit. I was watching Family Night on Friday with my girlfriend, and she's like, you know, checking her phone most of the time, which is understandable. Like, I don't expect anyone to sit on the couch and actually want to watch Family Night, but she looks up and sees Danny Vitale, like, just an absolute man of muscle and that mustache, and she's just appalled, which I think it even like he maybe went up like a notch or two in my book just seeing that stash and her being super not appreciative of it.
He definitely fits the Green Bay Packer mold. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And like he's more of a physical specimen too than John Kuhn ever was or Aaron Ripkowski. I mean, this guy's got muscle on muscle.
Right. Those guys were more like lumberjack, brawny, you know, kind of guys. Danny's more of like CrossFit kind of guy.
100%. 100%. He's not your dad's fullback. And like and I'm seeing all these tweets from all the guys, you know, obviously Andy Herman and every beat writer out there that's following the practices and just talking about how they're lining them up and like on the outside and throwing passes to him, which just like it doesn't even seem real. Like that seems fake to me that they do that with the fullback, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and you know, like we said, out of our three, we got to work better because, I mean, we can be honest. Janelle is our Devontae Adams in this whole situation, oh, yeah. Right? And so when she's gone, you've got to figure out a way to make up for that loss.
Absolutely.
And so today, Matt, we're in the middle of getting ready for the first preseason game of the season. The Houston Texans are in town. They've been in town now for a handful of days already. Packers are holding their joint practices with the Houston Texans. As we looked up before, the first time since 2005. So it's been 14 years now since the Packers have had a joint practice with a team. Which I think kind of surprised, because like we were trying to figure this out, and I remember them having one, much much more recently than that, and especially with the joint practice thing kind of being the new big thing, in the NFL over the last decade or so, it's kind of surprising the Packers haven't made this work before now or before like 2005.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking back, too, and it's like McCarthy, I believe, his first year, 2006. So they never even had one under his regime, which kind of just shows you the way he goes about his business and just how it differs from LaFleur. Like, there's many, many polar opposites that have been coming out over the last few weeks, even back in the minicamp. Like, just the fact that LaFleur's playing music at practice, the way he's just kind of more on these guys' butts. Obviously, you heard about last week, just really getting on the guys and – having a joint practice, like it seems something so simple. Like you said, it's a trend across the league. And I thought it was maybe just like logistic wise, like I used to see a lot more East Coast teams, I thought, that would do it because it was just easier proximity. But it's just another breath of fresh air that you're getting from Matt LaFleur compared to the Mike McCarthy tenure.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So with the Houston Texans in town, we want to kind of, break down what we're looking for between these two teams as they're in practice, because obviously, they're going to be playing the game on Thursday, so you're going to get to see basically kind of everything that we're talking about on Thursday as well. But at practice, I think at practice you kind of get more opportunity for everybody to kind of match up, because we can talk about starters for each team going up against different groups, but there's a chance Thursday you know, you never know who you're going to be going up against when you go into the game, because, you know, guys are only in there for so long. So practice, I feel like, kind of is more of a an open environment that people are going to get more, you know, you're going to get kind of more of those mismatched matchups, you know, maybe lower tier guys going up against starters for each team. So we kind of want to break down places that we're interested in looking at. Before we get to that,
Dan, go ahead. Is it safe to say, like, you're going to get more of the high-profile matchup maybe in the practices on Monday and Tuesday than you would in, like, the game on the actual, you know, the actual preseason? Because you're not really going to see J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson out there. You would think you'd on the, you know, the game. Like, I'm assuming you would see them more, getting more reps going up against people during the practices. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I mean, you kind of hit it right there. There's a chance that, you know, well, I mean, think about, and I know it's not kind of the same thing, but think about Mason Crosby dealing with that injury. You know, there's a chance that he, you know, could have been held out, or, you know, depending on what happens in the week, you know, wouldn't see as much playing time on a preseason game like that, especially with another young kicker in there. But yeah, like you said, now we kind of get to see those top tier matchups a little bit more, and it's just, I mean, even outside of that, it's just a different vibe at practice. You know, it's a little bit more loose, and I think these guys probably treat it almost as serious as a game. You'd have to imagine, right? I mean, yeah, with
definitely
it.
Because everyone's going to give it 110%. And if you're not given that, you're going to get embarrassed. Whether it's, you know, covering a receiver or coming off, you know, blocking someone off the edge. They have some good pass rushers in the Texans. Like, you don't really want to get embarrassed and just be like, ah, you know, everyone's just like, ah, it's just a practice. Like, that's, people don't really go about it that way. So,
well,
yeah, and, right.
Yeah, you mentioned embarrassed. If you get embarrassed in the game, yeah, you're gonna get chewed out by your coach on the sideline. But that's you know, however many yards away from the other team at practice. If you get embarrassed and you get chewed out by your coach, everybody from both teams is gonna be there for it, and it's doubly embarrassing, I feel like.
For sure.
Something I wanted to ask you, Matt. Yeah. You live in Green Bay, correct?
Yeah.
You, how long have you lived in Green Bay?
Since 2008. I came to college at UW-Green Bay in end of August 2008, so it'll be 11 years at the end of the month.
Okay. And I've been a Packer fan since forever, but I started coming to Green Bay in 2009 was my first year. And so as we do that, we come to Green Bay every year. You're there. And we bring people into Green Bay for the first time that have maybe never been there before, just like the Packers are doing with a lot of these guys for the Texans. So my question, if you're bringing somebody into Green Bay for the first time, like let's say the Houston team is coming out to dinner and you've got to figure out a place to take them, what's the number one place that you are telling somebody they have to go to get the local Green Bay experience?
Man, that's – ooh, I like this a lot. So – I really try, like, I've lived here, like I said, 11 years. Like, haven't been 21 for that long, but I really try to diversify myself, like, where I'm eating, like, even like, regular Saturday night. Like, I want to try something different. So, something that's just, like, really pure, like, if you want to go get a drink and have some good atmosphere and, like, a decent meal, like, go get a drink down at Hagmeister Park, like, downtown, real good atmosphere. You don't have to necessarily eat there, but it's just good, like, out on the patio. There's not a lot of great places to drink out on the river, so, or have, a soda pop. So I would say there. You could head over right over across the bridge, go to Titletown Brewing Company. You'll see Donald Driver on top of a massive football, so it's pretty tough to miss that. And then now, like, even down by the stadium, they've really improved the spots, Dan. Like, Stadium View and Anduzzi's, like, they used to be kind of just crap. Like, there was carpet on the ground that was just sticky from booze over the years, like people spilling it, and now they've actually improved those spots. So those are really cool settings. Al's Hamburgers is good downtown. That's like a little local gem. There's a bunch of places. Like, I don't want to say there's like an abundance of them, because there's certain ones that I just really don't like going to. I don't think the food's great, but I would say those. Ned Kelly's is decent for beer. Like, we're talking more downtown, but yeah, it's, I mean, there's some supper clubs around too. You got to find those, but talk to some locals. That's the best way. But I think as far as atmosphere and stuff goes, you want to stick by the stadium and probably somewhere downtown by the water.
I like the, the stadium with us, you know, we spend almost all of our time in that whole, you know, stadium orbit. Been to downtown a couple of times, but haven't experienced it as much. And so for me, I always tell people the first time that we bring them up there, we have to go to Kroll's across the street from the stadium, because I think they've got some of the best chili. And, you know, obviously Wisconsin loves their butter burgers, and I think Kroll's does an excellent butter burger. And I got the chance once at one of my radio jobs to interview then Packers safety Micah Hyde, and I asked him the very same question, and he told me Buffalo Wild Wings.
No,
I was
Buffalo Wild Wings.
He did. I teed up this whole question. I'm like, this is gonna be fantastic.
It's a good question too.
I'm like, you know, you're gonna get it from the player. Like this guy, they know all of the spots. And he's like, yeah, I usually just go to B Dubs. And I was heartbroken.
Like, was he young? Like, was he his first year or two in the league? Like, maybe because that's like right across the street from the stadium. Like,
this was going into his last year with the Packers.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
never meet your heroes, kids. It'll always disappoint you.
That is disappointing. I was really hoping for a gem there, like maybe just even like play Bistro or like Chive, somewhere I see like a lot of Packers they go to. But dang,
yeah, how much of a bummer is
that's
that?
That's why I went to Buffalo. You get just
and you get the best wings,
the
in
mecca
Buffalo.
Of the Buffalo Wild Wings in Buffalo.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's jump into this training or the our practices. Matt, there's not really a tier for this. So just hit me with one of the ones you've got for, like, who's one of the groups that you're looking at?
Yeah, I feel like there's a couple that are really obvious. So maybe we'll just kind of play a little duel here, see who goes with those after each other. But the first I'm going to go with is center Nick Martin versus Kenny Clark. Okay. Obviously, Kenny had a huge year last year. Coming into himself, and now with the lack of Mike Daniels there, it's the main focus is him being in that down in the trench there. And Nick Martin's one of those veteran centers that has been doing it for a while, and I would just really like to see him go up against a veteran guy that's been doing it almost twice as long as he has. And just I want to see the dynamic between if Kenny Clark, you know, his physical ability can overmatch Nick Martin's, like, just like mechanics and the way he goes about his game, like making all the checks and calls with Deshaun Watson underneath. And I think that's one that's I'm really kind of want to see who can overpower who. I would imagine Kenny will get him a couple times, but I think there'll be some veteran moves by Martin.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that. I've got a couple on here.
Cool.
Some of them are more nebulous, like groups against other, you know, position groups.
Sure.
But to kind of copy you here, one of the ones that I had where I'm hoping that we can see a one-on-one matchup of these two guys specifically is a rookie and a veteran. I want to see what Rashawn Gary can do against Matt Khalil for the Texans. You could argue the story out of training camp so far has been what we've seen out of Rashawn Gary. Early on, he's really impressed a lot of people. The question marks that people had coming into his draft, they seem to be being answered, at least from a, you know, very early standpoint. And Khalil, obviously, he you know, he's got experience against the Packers. You know, he was with the Vikings for I think 6 or 5 years. Before making his way over to Houston the last year. And so, you know, he's a guy that knows how to handle the left tackle position. And, I think you could argue that Matt Khalil against all of those edge rushers, because the Packers have basically kind of completely overhauled that edge rusher position, is something to kind of keep your eye on. But none of those other guys were a top 15 pick. So, you know, for me, Rashawn Gary, I'd like to see what he can do against another veteran offensive lineman from the first opposing offensive line that he'll see in the NFL.
Yeah, and Matt Khalil's not, by any means, I don't think in either of our opinions, Dan, like a top 10 offensive lineman, but at least would give him, Gary, like a chance to go up again. That's a veteran that, you know, has been doing it for a while, different looks, and it's his first year, I think, on the Texans. So it's going to be, that'll be another one. I really like to see those matchups down in the trenches right off the bat. I guess another one, I'm going to go out and say it right now. I'm ecstatic to see Bakhtiari versus J.J. Watt. I'm assuming they'll line up over each other once in a while. I got to imagine that's the one that all of our listeners are kind of looking forward to. There might be another one out there, but that one, just to me, I mean, we could spend some time talking about that. It's just, you have the upper echelon of a guy at each position. You could say, I mean, they're the number one guy at their spot over the course of the last 5 years, you know, maybe moving up or down, but that's the one that I'm really looking forward to. Just bull rush versus just great technique by Bakhtiari, and it's going to be interesting.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was actually one of my other ones.
It has
sort
to
of
be.
In a sort. Well, mine's slightly different. Okay. Because I'd want to see what J.J. Watt and Clowney are able to do, or at least I should say, what some of these other guys on the offensive line can do against J.J. Watt and Clowney.
Sure.
Because you could argue there's four guys on this team, on this offensive line right now, that are fairly close to being surefire starters. Mm-hmm. With Lindsley, Bakhtiari, Bulaga. And then I think you can make an argument that Turner is kind of at least penciled in that spot for right now, just because you don't kind of go out and get a free agent guy like that. That's gonna, you're not expecting him to kind of do something right away. But what I'm really looking forward to is some of these other guys like DeBeer and Cole Madison and Elgin sure. Jenkins. And, you know, they probably won't get as many reps against a J.J. Watt or a Clowney even in practice still. But even more so, just, you know, with what we've seen out of Rashawn Gary, those highlights in training camp, you know, it always kind of seems like there's been a few times that it's been DeBeer getting beaten, or, you know, one of these other young guys kind of getting beaten off of the block. And so, you know, I think as good as Gary has been, I think there's a case that, you know, some of these other offensive line guys need to have kind of a, you know, a special eye trained to them during practice in the next couple of early preseason games, because I think they've got something to prove with, some of the highlights we've seen out of training camp.
For sure. Another name to throw out there, just to piggyback off that, is Alex Light. He's been getting a lot of work on the right side with Bulaga being banged up. I think he got a lot of time today and yesterday going up against the guys. So it's nice to see that the Packers have some depth there, other than like a Jason Spriggs. It's just a kind of a luxury at this point to have, and they have some other, you know, guys that have in that Lane Taylor still, a couple guys are drafted. So yeah, I agree. I like the matchups.
So one of my other ones here, sticking offensively, and this is sort of my more nebulous one, is the wide receiver group against the Houston secondary, specifically the safety position, because the Houston safety group is two guys that you could argue, after this year, could be one of the premier safety groups. In Justin Reed, who had a huge breakout year last year and has a huge ceiling coming into this year. And then Tashawn Gibson, who, if I'm not mistaken, came from Minnesota. Jacksonville. It was Jacksonville. Yeah, and so, I mean, if those two can, you know, step up, that's a high-quality safety pairing that these wide receivers are going up against. And I think anytime you're talking about a matchup that includes, and I know we harp on this a lot, but this new offensive system that the Packers are trying to implement this year, any matchup that's going to kind of show or expose how good the offense is kind of gelling, especially the wide receivers, I think has to kind of be noted.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I feel like the strength of that secondary group for the Texans is their back end. A guy like Jonathan Joseph, who's getting a little long in the tooth. Bradley Roby at nickelback, I think, is great. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best nickelbacks in the league. And Aaron Colvin's good as well. He just, I don't think talent-wise, he's the creme de la creme of what the Packers will see, even in their division. But I think with those two guys, like you said, Reed, who had a huge year last year, and Gibson's one of the hardest-hitting guys in the league, that'll be interesting to see if they can fool guys like that, because there's some veterans back there. That's pretty much what that whole defense is besides Reed. So, yeah, you would think there'd be a few times where LaFleur would dial something up or Rodgers able to look a guy off and, you know, hit Devontae in the seam. So that's a good one to look at. It's not like a young defense or a young secondary they're going up against, or it's really not young anywhere on the defensive side of the ball for the Texans. But you would imagine, you know, Rodgers is going to get the best of them. They might get him once or twice too.
Yeah. Is there any other groups that you have marked down?
I mean, group-wise, I guess we could go – this is the one I had wrote down as far as just straight-up position by position or player by player would be DeAndre Hopkins versus Jair Alexander.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, they're going to be matched up against each other because it's Jair's clearly our number one. DeAndre Hopkins is clearly the best receiver in the league, in my opinion. So they're going to be matching them up across the board. And anyone else matched up against DeAndre Hopkins on the Packers' defensive backfield is probably going to have a tough time, other than Jair. That's going to be a really fun one to see. And then I think just down the board, they have Will Fuller, Kiki Kuti, who had a good year last year, filling in when Will Fuller was out. And it's going to be a challenge, you know, for guys like Tony Brown and the rest of the secondary to be able to go against these guys that they're quick. They're all very fast. They're going to run those underneath routes and be able to take the top off the defense when necessary. So that'll be a challenge. I think the one that, you know, keeping within that group too, it would be Tony Brown going up against either Will Fuller or Kiki Kuti. That's going to be the ones I really like to see too, see what these guys can hold up against maybe in a man-on-man coverage. I mean, they really don't have a tight end play, so you don't have to worry about that too much. But that's the one position group I would say, besides the, you know, we were talking about offensive line versus defense line, it would be that one, the DBs versus the receivers, when it's going the Packers defensive backs versus the Texans receiving core.
Yeah. And if I'm that, I don't really have any others that are, you know, a player specific or really any players. The only other thing I'm kind of watching for in these next 2 days is, how does Matt LaFleur handle this practice and the situations that kind of come up with it?
Sure.
You know, you brought up, I think you brought up Josh Jones, the situation earlier, you know, where LaFleur put his foot down and, you know, said that any fighting or any shenanigans like that is not going to be tolerated here, which is a great sign for a young head coach to have, you know, the ability to do that. And, you know, we see it every year when these joint practices take place, tempers flare up. And there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have a situation like this show up. And so if something happens, how does Matt LaFleur handle that situation? And really just in general, hosting another NFL team at your practice facility for 2 days before you have a game against them, you know, 2 days later. It's like when you're in college and you're living alone for the first time and you're inviting your family over to dinner. And so you're like trying to pretend like how to be an adult, and like you're acting like other adults act. And so can Matt LaFleur, you know, be the adult and serve the Texans like something other than frozen fish sticks or something for dinner? Can he provide?
Why not have a box?
Right. So that's the only other thing I'm interested in seeing, is how Matt LaFleur handles this situation.
For sure. If like Mike Daniels was still on the team, I would, like, I'm trying to think of like someone that would like start if it got a little chippy, like who would be the guy to step in, or who would even be the one to instigate it? I think Mike Daniels would be the one right off the bat. But after that, for the Packers, I really can't think of anyone that's really going to get, you know, too caught up with that. Bakhtiari doesn't always seem like that type of guy to me. Maybe Corey Linsley a little bit. But no one that's really going to, you know, I would imagine, like you said, it's going to probably happen. Like, let's be honest. Like, there's going to be some flare up. Whether that carries over from Monday to Tuesday, or, you know, as we're recording, you're hearing this on Tuesday, but, or if you're hearing, like, maybe, if, you know, between those two practices, if it flares up into the game, I don't think there's too much carryover there, but that'll be an interesting one to check out. It's also notable for the Texans to look at, I would think, just in general for this week. They let go of Dont'a Foreman over the weekend. Like, they're looking for a second running back. They got a bunch of guys on the list after Lamar Miller that no one's really ever heard of. Like, I would be – while like, we're recording this on Sunday. I would be almost shocked if they didn't bring one in before – the middle of the week, just to get some reps in their first preseason game against the Pack, because they're going to have someone back up Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is good, like, kind of slept on every year, and he always outperforms, and I think a lot of people were high on Foreman for the last few years, but just really hasn't done it. He was suspended for a couple games last year, so just on the Texans side of the ball, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a running back signed by the time this podcast actually comes out.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing to keep an eye on. That's a good point. And it kind of brings up something else, just as small as we kind of wrap up here. Mm-hmm. How much, I mean, in training camp here, you know, the Packers, obviously, you know, there's, I forget how many, I mean, how many tight ends have we seen kind of come in, and you wonder, like, you know, obviously half of these guys basically aren't going to be making your team. How much do you think head coaches, you know, kind of scout other, like, some of these other guys from teams that they, you know, maybe they're looking at the Packers for their second running back prospect during these practices. You know what I mean?
That's not a crazy thought. I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, we've seen Aaron Jones out for the last few days, Jamal Williams as well, and Trey Carson's kind of took over as the number, I guess, number one. He's taking the number ones right now, and I mean, mm-hmm. the Packers have a ton of running backs, as we've discussed. It seemed like a few weeks ago, every day, every other day, they're getting a new running back. They're bringing them in, you know, from the likes of Corey Grant to obviously Dexter Williams, who they drafted. Like, you would think that, I mean, yeah, that's not a bad thought. I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time. I'm sure there's some stat out there of guys, you know, that at the end of the four preseason games, there's always one or two guys that they've played, you know, in the four that they've picked up for different teams. That's definitely an area of need, Dan. And the Packers definitely have some depth there. So I wouldn't be shocked if that were to happen, but yeah, I think it happens a lot. I mean, it's a quick way to get a real feel. Like, you can bring a guy in for a practice in April or May and like a private practice and try him out and sign him and he clears his physical. But there's a difference, like, when the guy's been going through training camp and he's been, you know, getting his butt kicked, and all of a sudden you have a few games in the preseason, you actually get a real live look at him taking snaps for some of these guys, it's 45 minutes, you know, three quarters of play where they're just consistently getting reps out there on the defense or the offensive side of the ball. And that's a really, really good test if you can't, you know, get them in. There's so many guys out there that can make an NFL roster, at least that want to. And that's, like you said, that's a really good, really good. I mean, even for the Packers too, like, there could be some guys on the Texans, you know, 90 man roster right now. I don't really know who they have past, you know, their starters or even like 60 guys, but there's got to be a few guys that maybe even have their eye on just in case that they get cut and, you know, fall through waivers and not get signed to the practice squad that they might be wanting to sign. As far as names, I don't really have any. I doubt you do. Maybe you do.
No.
But
nope.
It'd be cool if we did. Like, that would be good.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be as far. Like,
I mean, you could look at defensive line, maybe that they'd want to add some depth. I'm just kind of going through the roster here. I don't really see any names that like stick out significantly to me other than, like, you know, their starters. There's no name that I see on there that's like maybe a last year round pick or something like that, or maybe a veteran guy that's floated around. But yeah, it's cool. I'm pretty excited for a joint practice. Just like, it's something, it mixed it up a bit. Like you said, hasn't happened since 2005. That's a long time, and it's just a new, hopefully the trend keeps running with LaFleur. You'd hope to see that. It's interesting to me too, Dan. I wonder how, like, the Texans and the Packers, they link up for something like this. Like, who makes that phone call? Where does that link? There's not a lot of connection, obviously, besides like J.J. Watt being linked to, you know, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I wonder how that goes about.
Yeah, I wonder if like maybe it's kind of like Tinder, where the head coaches go on, like, you know, in preseason, and, you know, like Mark Murphy's face pops up and says, you know, fun-loving, cheese-eating, you know, and it maybe it says owner in parentheses because he knows that he's not like a real owner, and, you know, enjoys long walks at Bay Beach and you know.
And Bill O'Brien, Bill O'Brien just right swiping Mark Murphy.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Well, guys, that does it for us. Make sure you stick with us the rest of the week and then obviously the rest of the season. Football is finally back. It's so fantastic to be able to say that because now we actually get games. And this is, I mean, it's always fun to be a fan. But I know we said this before, but it's so much more fun to get to dissect a season like this. You know, when we're doing the podcast like this. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Follow the podcast on Twitter or everywhere. We're at Packaday Podcast. Matt and myself, we're on Twitter as well, at DK all the way. And Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt_FRA_. That's at MATT_FRA_. And that's where I do, I think I would say, Dan, that's where we do most of our Packers damage is on Twitter.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's my favorite. Like, I started Instagram a few months ago and, like, had Facebook since I came to Cal. But, like, that's – I was telling one of my buddies over the weekend, like, I use Twitter more than I use, like, Google, like, for searching stuff because it's just the quickest way to find information that's up to date. So hit Dan and I both up on there because that's where you want to get all your Pack-A-Day podcast news.
And let us – hit us up there and let us know where the one place in Green Bay you take – out of towners, or if you're trying to give somebody the Green Bay experience, where do you take them? Because I think we got a nice mix of it because I am, you know, I am not a resident of Green Bay. You've been there for over 10 years now. And so we got kind of these different, you know, opinions about where's the best place or where's what. But yeah, I'm interested to see what people think about that more so than any of the other training camp stuff. I think that's the important stuff. Well, we'll be back 2 weeks from now. Enjoy the training camp. Enjoy preseason football on Thursday. But until we talk to you again, as always, we finish off every podcast with a big Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.